Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com or jimblastinggame.com or jbsba.com. We make it easy on you. Whatever it takes to remember our site, that's what we try to help you do. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes by email every week, every Sunday in the afternoon to get you ready for the week ahead. Hope you'll check that out when you get a chance. And all the other things you can do on our website. It's a little bit of small business heaven. And it's made especially valuable because we have a number of offerings there from our good friend Skip Miller, who's with us right now. William Skip Miller, the author of Proactive Sales Management, the author of Proactive Selling, the co-author of Proactive Prospecting. I think that's the title of the new book. I personally don't have a copy of that yet. No, Knock Your Socks Off Prospecting. That's what it is, isn't it, Skip?
That's it, correct.
Knock Your Socks Off Prospecting.
And FedEx won't be fast enough shipping you one.
Welcome to the show, Skip.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
It's like, always fun, especially in the middle of summer.
Absolutely. Skip, one of the things that I was saying earlier is that nothing happens if someone makes a sale. I've said that a lot this week. We've been talking about salesmanship a lot this week. Nothing happens until somebody makes a sale, but no sale is made until somebody identifies a prospect. And no prospect happens until somebody turns a suspect into a prospect. What do you think about all that?
You know, it's absolutely, I had more fun doing this prospecting book because we really dove into quite a bit of research, and research from the street side, not the empirical research, but from salespeople's side about how they prospect and what they do and the successful ones and the unsuccessful ones. It was fun just talking to people, and one of the overriding things is salespeople hate to prospect.
Oh, yeah. Not too many. And typically, if they're good at prospecting, they're not good at closing.
Yeah.
For some reason. What's up with that?
Different skill sets, right? There are people who love to start a sale and really get involved in the sale. And closing techniques and hardcore closing techniques are more negotiation tools. I guess I'm a huge believer that closing begins early in the sale.
Right.
So believe it or not, the good salespeople who are good at prospecting were really good at getting either a yes or a no out of these prospects, not just, you know, giving an order. I mean, the whole idea of closing a deal is getting a yes or a no so you know what to do with it. So the good prospectors knew how to get in and get something either up or out quickly. But the number one overriding, I've got three things I want to talk to you about this morning. The first thing, which was head and shoulders above the other two or any other success quality that we found, was the top prospectors knew how to make sure the focus was on the prospect, that it was all about them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't start spewing about who they were. Most prospectors have this thought that if I can get everything in my head about my company and what we do, mm-hmm. if I could take that and put it in your head, you'll see why you want to do business with me. That is unbelievable nonsense.
It's the data dump, and it'll kill you.
It is.
It's a death wish in selling, isn't it?
Most sales managers who go on sales calls with salespeople, when they start, sit there and go, wow, this guy I didn't know could take 4 minutes without taking a breath. 5 minutes without taking a breath. You got to start talking about them. And we're not talking about doing research and listen, it's the summer. Most VPs of organizations, most presidents, most mid to high level managers are right now taking a look at their first half and saying, what do I got to do different in the second half? Because either I'm above plan, below plan. You know, we're calling a lot of our customers up right now and saying, you know, how'd you do for the year? And you can pick up trends. Some companies are doing real well. Some industries aren't doing well. And then start asking them, what are you doing differently? You've got to go after this like an investigative reporter. And everybody wants to talk about the future. You know, we were 98% of our goal for this year. We were 120% so far. Well, what do you plan on doing for the rest of the year? Because that's where you got to uncover, you know, an unbelievable zone of, you know, items to talk about and opportunities. Not, hey, you're probably wondering. No, I'm not probably wondering.
Well, and the thing is that when you walk in these days, people aren't as willing to see salespeople as they used to be, are they?
Absolutely not, for numerous reasons, and the biggest one is time.
It's time, right? And so you walk in, and all of a sudden, all you do is talk about yourself. I mean, whenever that happens to me, I just zone out and see how quickly I can get them out of my office.
That's exactly.
But if they walk in and say something like, you know, what's the biggest challenge in your life right now? What if in your business, if you had a silver bullet, if I had a sack of silver bullets over here, where would you put the first one?
Most customers and most people in your industry right now are doing pretty well. What are your goals and objectives in the second half to make sure you outperform the market?
Hold on to that thought. We're going to come right back. And when we come back, first, a word about Skip's co-author, Ron Zimke, in his new book, Knock Your Socks Off Prospecting. Stay with us, 22.
I said, hey, now, what is this? Now, baby, maybe she's in need of a kiss.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and visiting with our good friend Skip Miller. And Skip's new book is called Knock Your Socks Off Prospecting. And Skip, you co-authored that with Ron Zimke.
Yes. Ron was an absolute joy to work on this. He's written a dozen or so Knock Your Socks Off books, the famous ones being Knock Your Socks Off Service, Delivery,
right.
Knock Your Socks Off Service. And his angle coming from it from a customer service side and mine from a sales side, really put the two horses together there. And unfortunately, halfway through the book, Ron had a battle with cancer and then passed away. And
we lost him last August. And
yes.
He's a my audience knew Ron. He was a regular guest on our show, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and just one of the nicest human beings I ever met. A great guest on the show, really cared a lot about his work, and I was happy to know him, and I know you were too, Skip.
It was funny. I started writing Knock Your Socks Off Prospecting, probably got through three or four chapters and sent it to him, and that was a lot of work, probably like 100 pages, and he sends it back going, Skip, no offense, but you're full of yourself. This is too long. Knock Your Socks Off style is like three or four pages per chapter. Get to the point. Get to the meat and go on. And I'm like, wait a minute. I got to be complete. I want to talk about the whole thing here.
I'm not through here.
I'm not done talking about this whole thing yet. Skip, you're full of yourself. Just get to the point, say it, and go on to the next. So the Knock Your Socks Off style, it was tough for me to get into it. But once I got into it, and typical Ron beat you over the head with a 4x4 to get it. It's like, okay, here's a point, here's how you use it next. And it was a fun book to really write, and hopefully we did him justice.
Well, and folks, I'm very proud to say that you can still hear Ron Zimke's voice and his wisdom on our website. If you go to customer service section of our Brain Trust, in our archives or the articles, or if you go to the Brain Trust and you look up Ron Zimke in the Brain Trust, you can still hear a number of the interviews that I did with him. And I'm glad to say we're still making his voice heard out there almost a year now since he left us. Let's get back into what you were talking about earlier, Skip, about some of the key components of Knock Your Socks Off Prospecting.
Right now, you're right. The salespeople should be more right. As an investigative reporter, this is a perfect opportunity time to go to the top prospects, the top areas, and especially your top customers who should be able to do more work with you and say, listen, I know you had a great year the first half. What are some of your goals and objectives? What are you really trying to do for the second half? Maybe we can help, as opposed to pitching and saying things like, hey, I have something you need. I mean, that's a click.
That's right.
So right now, use the opportunity of most managers are reflecting how they did for the first half. They're looking at their report card, their scorecard, which is earnings and revenues and costs and balance sheets, and saying, okay, here's what I got to do in the second half. I have no clue how I'm going to do that, but I know I have to do that in the second half. If that doesn't smell of opportunity, I don't know what does. So the number one rule is when you're prospecting in your letters, your emails, your faxes, your voicemails, you're knocking on doors, it's got to be all about them over time. time.
And it's got to be about solving problems, helping them find solutions, adding value to whatever they're trying to do, and if it's humanly possible, connect it directly to their revenue and to their profits.
Exactly right. Step one, spend good quality time. And don't sit back and say, okay, I got to spend 5 minutes talking about them, and then I can jump in and talk about me.
Right.
If your whole first call is nothing more than spending time with them, about them, and then at the end of the call saying, you know what, we may have something, not sure yet, let's schedule a next meeting. You're developing a relationship, you're lowering risk. I mean, this is good stuff. Stop pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Is probably the number one. The first thing's got to be all about them. The second thing we find is, you know, people are really good at dying for dollars and you know, doing the activities. But what happens is when they actually get somebody alive on the phone, they're expecting the person to say, hey, wow, that's great. What should we do next? In the book, a big, huge chapter, which we, you know, Ron really had some good input to, is you should be in your prospecting, you should be expecting a no. And expecting how to overcome that. Is this a no because I don't have the time right now? Is this a no because I don't understand what the heck you're saying? Is this a no? Which
is
no
this
to
a
expect?
No because is this a no because I've done a great job and they really don't need or want what I have? Or is it a no because I haven't done my job and explained to them the value that we bring?
That's exactly right. I haven't spent. Is this a no because I
haven't listened
to them?
I think we need to assume it's the latter, don't you?
Yeah, I haven't listened to them. You know, every prospecting person I know has two choices. They get on the phone and say, if they can just understand what I'm telling them, they'll get it. The second choice is, if that prospect gets off the phone going, that guy heard me. He understands what I'm trying to do. I think the second's much more powerful than the first. And the only way you're going to get that prospect to sit back and say, that guy heard me, is to ask questions about their business, listen, and then if it's acceptable, if it's a good thing, propose a next step. And the next step could be right there on the phone, could be in the next meeting, could be whatever else. But if the person doesn't give time to give what his or her opinion is about where they're at today, what are their goals and objectives, what are they trying to do tomorrow, what are they trying to do by the end of the year, all you're doing is pitch it. Hey, you want to buy a watch? This is silly.
Well, you know, Skip, something that's happened to me before, in the times that I have done a good job of finding the value, finding the opportunity with the customer, but the customer maybe not being ready to buy from me, but it turns out I did a good job. There have been times when later on somebody else would call me and said this person had told them about me and that they didn't want to do business with me, but they knew a friend who did, and they actually gave me the referral.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
You never know where it's going to come from. It's always the right thing to do a good job and to make sure it's all about the customer. Tintail, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Skip Miller. His new book is called Knock Your Socks Off Prospecting, also Proactive Sales Management, also Proactive Selling, and a host of other important products, and which you can find at this outstanding website. Skip, give it to us, please.
Website is m3learning.com, m3learning.com, and there you'll find stuff regarding our management courses and our sales courses, be it public courses you can send salespeople to, or you know, our on-site consulting and work for companies that want to take their sales revenues higher.
M3learning.com.
Yep.
And the number three, by the way.
M3, the number three, stands for Miller and his three kids.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let's get back into this knock your socks off prospecting.
What number one, all about them.
Yep.
Number two, expect a no and be prepared for that. So when the client says, the prospect says, I'm too busy, this, that, the other, whatever else, you could sit back and say, yes, I can agree with that. You know, a next step that we may want to take, though, because if you talk about them, you've got some ammunition to discuss rather than just keep, you know, all of a sudden talking faster and louder. Well, they don't get it. So if I talk slower and louder, they'll get it. Well, unfortunately, salespeople talk faster and louder.
Right.
The third thing is, and the final thing is, cold calling doesn't work. Cold calling doesn't work. Banging the phones, the best thing you can do, without a doubt, is try to move a cold call to a warm call. Get more warm calls. Spend time, spend effort getting a call to warm. Example, I was in a room the other day with 500 salespeople, and I asked the 500 salespeople. I said, I said, 500 salespeople, be honest. How many people in the last 90 days have talked to their current customers and said, listen, are you happy with what you get and everything else like that? Do you happen to know somebody in your industry who does what you do at a different company and would benefit by what we're doing with you? Like three people raised their hand. And I called them liars. I mean, reference selling is so powerful, yet we never go to our current customers. So I highly suggest to your listeners that for the next 2 weeks of July, maybe the rest of the July, they spend time with their current customers just asking them, do you have a name? Do you
just
have a number?
Just mining for referrals.
Without a doubt.
Right, but you got to train them how to do this, though, don't you?
You have to, because you're exactly right. What's going to happen is they're going to call up one of their customers and say, do you have a referral? And they'll say yes, and they'll start talking to them. And then they'll immediately call that person up. The reference call is really good, but you've got to use it in perspective because you got to understand that, Jim Smith told me to call you. The guy may hate Jim Smith.
Right. Or he may not have called yet.
Exactly right.
And that's when you feel pretty dumb.
Yes. Jim Smith, I haven't talked to him in years.
Yeah.
So moving the goal for July should be moving the cold call to a warm call. And you can do that via a reference. You can do that via using industry statistics. You can do that using industry current customer. There's numerous ways to try to move a cold call to a warm call before you start really, the actual prospecting work. That's a big thing to do. It really is.
What about helping people get off of the suspect thing? To me, when I first learned what the difference between a suspect and a prospect years ago, that was a watershed moment for me because I was a young pup and I was forecasting suspects, and the people who were training me taught me that suspects don't write checks. Only customers write checks, and you can't go from being a suspect to a customer. You got to become a suspect, then a prospect, then a customer. And sometimes we get the idea. We actually have this person that we know about that maybe we've called on them, but we haven't qualified them yet, and yet we're forecasting them as a sale this month. That's probably not going to happen, is it?
You're exactly right. Our definition of a suspect to a prospect is one that has taken ownership to the evaluation, where I sit back and say, you know what? A good next step by next Friday. Not as soon as possible, because I don't have as soon as possible in my calendar. By next Friday, you do this, I'll do this, and we'll compare notes. If a prospect is willing to take a homework assignment, which is a great ownership tool, Bob, why don't we get together next Tuesday? Why don't you do this, read this, do this, I'll do this, and then we'll compare notes. If they're willing to take time.
You didn't answer, you weren't able to, I asked you this question, you weren't able to get that information. If you'll have that information for me when I come back, that kind of thing.
When the customer, the prospect, is willing to take on a homework assignment, when they're willing to do something for a next meeting, they've gone, in our definition, from a suspect to a prospect because they've shown interest, they've shown ownership, they're willing to commit time, resource, money, whatever else it is, and then you've got something that you should be able to start a sales prospect through.
Well said, Skip. I've got to wrap it up. Give us your website one more time.
M3 Learning, the number three, M3Learning.com.
The new book is called Knock Your Socks Off Prospecting, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Great book. Amazon's probably the best place to get it,
right.
And it's a great tool for the summer reading. It's a simple read, too. So,
Skip Miller and Ron Zimke wrote it. Thanks, Skip. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.